Well, what a privilege it is to be back with you after 4 years. The question on everybody's lips is, are you still in Hawaii? No. I went from Hawaii to Chicago, so that was a great choice, right? Especially as we head into winter. Anyway, I bring you greetings from my current congregation, St. Peter United Church of Christ, in Lake Zurich, Illinois, which is just north and west of Chicago, where I am the senior pastor. They were so joyful for me to be able to come and join you on this very happy day. I also bring you greetings from the Fox Valley Association of the Illinois Conference. They are also so grateful to be with you today in a little piece with me. Thank you, Pastor Mindy, for inviting me to be here. It's such a privilege and a pleasure. I miss you all. Yeah, I miss your smiling faces. I miss your joy. I miss this place, right? This building. There is something about the physical space as well that was sacred and that I miss. So it is wonderful to be back with you this morning. I saw somebody, I think a little tyke, wearing a Grace We're Amazing t-shirt. So it looks like maybe that phrase has stuck around to this day. Is still a phrase you use sometimes? Well, I still have my red t-shirt. I still wear it fondly, mostly when I'm in digging in the garden or running, but I still wear it, and every time I think of it, I wear it, I think of you all. Do you know the story of how that phrase came to be? Anybody? Well, it started as a joke, and for those of you who know me well, that shouldn't surprise you at all. One day we received in the mail a catalog that was full of Christian tchotchkes. Now, normally I would have just thrown that straight in the recycling bin, but instead I actually opened it and started looking at it. We must have needed presents for Sunday school teachers or Mother's Day or, I don't know, some other event. So as I perused the pages, I suddenly saw this canvas bag that read, "Grace, it's amazing." And my brain very quickly converted "it's" to "we're," and I chuckled at my own silliness. Shortly thereafter, I was sitting in a meeting. I know I was sitting beside Joyce Landis in this meeting, but I don't remember what meeting it was. But anyway, during this meeting, for reasons that totally escaped me, I shared my goofy new catchphrase. I totally meant it as a joke, but the board didn't see it that way. They loved it, and as soon it was our new unofficial logo. While I appreciate the tongue-in-cheek nature of this motto, there's always been something about it that bothered me. It's not very humble. Maybe it doesn't matter that the phrase isn't humble. Humility is not prized in our culture. Did anyone else catch Charlie Rose's interview with golfing great Tiger Woods this week? Anybody see that one? So he told Charlie that he had only one regret in his life. His one and only regret in life was that he didn't stay in college 1 year longer. Charlie pushed him, "You don't regret your affair or the subsequent breakup of your marriage?" "No," was the immediate response. If the people we consider heroes, the best of the best, can't even feign humility, why would any of us? Apparently, issues with humility aren't anything new. They clearly existed in Jesus' day, for he told a story to try to combat the problem. There were two men who went to the temple to pray. One man, a religious bigwig, stood where everyone could see him and prayed at the top of his voice about how good he was and about how bad everybody else was. The other man, a tax collector, the first century equivalent of an IRS wonk, stood in a corner at the back of the sanctuary by himself. He wasn't even so bold as to look up into heaven as he prayed. Instead, he whispered in a voice broken with tears, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus concluded his story with an instruction to be like the tax collector, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." If you were listening carefully to the text from 2 Timothy that Pastor Mindy read a few minutes ago, you might now be scratching your head. So I've just told you this story from Jesus in which humility is prized, and yet Paul doesn't sound very humble at all as he writes to the young pastor Timothy. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Shouldn't Paul perhaps be a little bit more cautious I have done my best to fight the good fight. I am trying to finish the race. I am working hard to keep the faith. From where does his brazenness come? I wonder if Paul's boldness comes in part because he embraced grace. Paul knew it wasn't because of his own strength or power or stick-to-itiveness that in store for him was a crown of righteousness. Paul knew it was because of the grace of God alone that he had been able to accomplish anything. Paul's own words a few verses later show this to be true. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Maybe what these two texts teach us together is that, as with so much of life, balance is what's needed. We need to remain humble and not exalt ourselves. Yet we also need to see ourselves through the eyes of God's grace as dearly loved and incredibly valuable. We need to wrestle with our worthlessness and in doing so find our worthiness. Maybe when I created this silly catchphrase, I should have added a parenthetical phrase. Grace, because of Christ, we're amazing. Definitely loses some zip that way, but even if it isn't literally in the motto, hopefully it is in the hearts and minds of all who use it. God's grace is amazing, and we, when we rely on God's grace, are amazing too. As you move into the next 200 years of your life together, I hope you will continue to rely on God's grace as the foundation of your life and ministry. May it give you purpose and courage. May it give you hope and joy. To God alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.